Your Bible tonight, if you will, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to take one verse here for our text tonight, and I want to preach to you on the subject of living in a changing world. Living in a changing world, and just give you three main things to consider and think about. I think one of the great problems in our world today is we don't think. Amen. We do not Amen. Think. We turn on the television and watch it and let it do our thinking for us. Or we let the radio do our thinking. We don't really think very much ourselves, and that's a bad mistake. You need to use that gray matter that God gave you between your two ears. You need to exercise it and keep it exercised on a regular basis. Some of the challenge of being a teacher is working with kiddos and getting them to think. All right, they sometimes want the answer to just be right there. They don't want to have to think to get to it. So, but I found that when kids finish school, nothing changes. Adults just want the answer to be right there. And sometimes I say, could you give it to me? No, you have to think your way to it, all right? Hope you will tonight, all right? So there you are. Proverbs chapter 24, if you will. Look at verse 21. The Bible said, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, I believe the Word of God is plain, okay? Now, I want you to notice what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say you can never change anything. The Bible doesn't say that. There's some parts and some people in the United States that still live like they did in the 1800s. And they believe it's wrong for you to have electric lights in your house or any kind of machinery, you know, to help, to have a vehicle, that kind of thing. I don't believe the Bible, when it says here, meddle not with them that are given to change, doesn't say to you can never change anything, all right? But it does warn us about those that are given to change. You need to look out for them, all right? Need to look out. But at the same time, I read that verse and I think about it, kind of makes it hard to live today, doesn't it? Because there's so many people that are given to change. Change is everywhere. And I think really change is accelerating in our day. More and more, I mean, the changes just keep coming. Stop and consider 120 years ago and consider that the change that's occurred in the last 100 or so years. My dad, for instance, when he was a kid, they traveled by horse and buggy. As a kid, his dad was a farmer. They farmed behind the mule. They plowed behind the mule. And but we've gone from that time, horse and buggy travel, to space travel.
Yes, sir.
People have walked on the surface of the moon. And I do believe that really happened. I don't believe it was all put up in a sound stage somewhere in Hollywood. I do believe people have done that. Hey, we've gone from a time where there was no television. If you'd have talked about television 100 or so years ago, people said, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't even know the word, didn't know it. But we've gone from a time from no TV to where you can carry a TV screen in your hand.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Today, you can do that. We've gone from no phone, no telephone, to a wind-up phone, to a party line phone, okay, to individual lines, to houses, and then to each member of a family having their own line, their own number, and their own phone.
That's right.
Now, you stop and think about that. That's amazing change that's going on. And not just a telephone, but that phone that most of you have either in your purse or your pocket has got so much more power than the very first computer that was made. It's almost incomprehensible, all right? That's the kind of change is going on. We've gone from no electric lights to electric lights. Everything's lit up.
Yes,
if you get in an airplane, take an airplane trip, you go at night, it's amazing how much is lit up in the world, you know, that you can see. And we've gone from a barter economy because nobody had any cash.
That's right.
to a cash society, and now we're heading to a cashless society.
That's exactly right.
Right? The change. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some of those things are interesting, but I don't get all worked up about them. I'm not upset that I don't have to get my horse out of the barn, bring it out, hook it to my buggy to get to church.
Amen.
I'm really kind of glad I just get in my car, mash the button, the garage door goes up, get in the car, mash the button, the car starts up, and you drive up here, you don't have to change gears or any of that.
Amen.
Drive up, pull up on the parking lot, mash the button, the thing cuts off, all right? Yeah, I like it. I can get to the door handle, touch the handle, and it unlocks. Now, it does bother me that when I get in it, my phone dings and gives me advice on how far and how long it'll take me to get to O.C.'s Burgers, all right?
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Now, that does concern me a little bit.
Right.
But, all of those things, it's not that upsets me. The things that do bother me are the changes we see in society.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The changes, if you will, in the morals,
yeah,
and in the conduct of people. Those are the things that are changing that bother me. The things society didn't even speak of because they were considered so wicked has now become not only tolerated but accepted and pushed as normal and right and try to force it upon people that believe it's wrong still.
Amen.
Those things bother me, all right? It's upsetting that what was right is now considered to be wrong. What was normal is now viewed as abnormal. What was abnormal is now viewed as normal. What's wrong is now pushed as right. Those things bother us. Say, well, so how do we live? How do we live in such a changing world? Now, the world says you have to change to make it. You just have to change. But could I just caution you to hold on just a second? You ever notice there's a few things, there's some things, I'll mention some of them to you, that never change and nobody complains about it.
Right.
Nobody complains about it. For instance, the rotation of the earth. It's rotating right now. I've never heard anybody working up a petition to let's figure out how to either speed it up or slow it down. Or stop it. Nobody wants to do that. The revolution of our earth around the sun goes on constantly. All the planets, we can debate whether there's 8 or 9, okay? But they still revolve around the sun also. You ever thought what kind of world it'd be if man could fool with that? The law of gravity. There are times I would like to tamper with the law of gravity. When I get on the bathroom scale, there are times I wish we could tamper with that law of gravity just a little bit, But man, what a mess it would be. What a disaster it would be if man could alter those things.
Yes, sir.
They don't change. But let me say this to you. That's why we were able to send a man to the moon.
Amen.
That's why it is within the realm of possibility. I'm not sure why anybody really has a dying urge to go. But it's within the realm of possibility to put a man on Mars. They can shoot that spacecraft to where they know Mars is going to be. If you've ever shot skeet, taken a shotgun out or anything, or tried to bird hunt, and if you're doing that, you don't shoot where they are. If you do, you will watch them continue to fly, all right? You have to shoot where they're going to be, right? You have to aim where they're going to be. You have to, take that shotgun. If you're shooting skeet, you got to swing it up, follow them, pull that trigger, and pray. Now, that's the way I shoot skeet, all right? But, I mean, you have to time it. Everything's got to be right. Well, the reason they're able to put a man and hopefully send a man, or they wishfully maybe send a man to Mars, is because they know where Mars is going to be.
Right.
Why? Because some things don't change.
Right. Amen.
If Mars just slowed down a tad bit, that spacecraft they sent to Mars would go right on by it. It'd be gone. Mm-hmm. All right? That'd be the end of it. All right? And, hey, all of those things happen. Those movements are predictable.
Amen.
They don't change.
Right.
But yet we send today, and everybody says, well, we need to change everything. Everything needs to be approached. Now, I just want to caution you, you need to take care of what you decide you have to change.
Amen.
You best be careful about it. Let me just give you three things to think about it. Number one, don't give up what you have for what you think you want.
Come on, preach it.
Don't give up what you have for what you think you want.
Amen.
Go with me to Acts chapter 17, would you?
Amen.
Acts chapter 17 in your Bible. We're kind of quick to say, yeah, I want that. I want that, all right? Some of you maybe have decided, boy, I want that car, I want that car, I want that car, and you got it. And then later on you said, oh, man, wish I hadn't bought this bucket of, you know, rust or bolts, you know, trouble. Acts 17, look for it in verse 21, all right? For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Right.
Hey, that's all they were interested in. We just want something new.
Mm-hmm.
We just want something new. The devil has a way of making the things of this world and this old world look mighty good.
Yes, sir.
The devil has a way of making new things look good. But you can be deceived dreadfully. I think about those Athenians, they long to hear something new. In our day, it seems that folks want to have anything that's new. I need to have my hands on it, all right? When I was a kid, reading the Dick Tracy comic, they'd talk to their watch.
Right.
Now people are doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have mental problems, all right? Because it is, you can put that phone on your wrist.
Right.
You say, preacher, what's wrong with that? I didn't say anything's wrong with it.
Nope.
I have a hard time reading the text on my phone, much less trying to read it on my watch, you know? But, man, whatever floats your boat in that respect, I guess, you know? But I want to say this to you, in order to have that which is new, it's not worth it if the cost of that which is new is to give up that which is old and good.
Right.
Old and good. You see, I'm convinced a lot of parents in our day have done that. They have given up that which is good and old just for the sake of something that's new, and they bought into the new idea, they bought into the new a fangled way of raising your children, you know. Y'all, I don't know if you heard about it. It's not too awful long ago. I heard them that you're supposed to ask permission from your children to do things, even to the point, literally, you need to ask a child if you can change their diaper. Now, I don't know how brilliant your children were. Now, my kids were probably dumb, all right? I guess they were a little bit ignorant, but I found out it wasn't a good thing to ask them certain things.
No, sir.
Because it's a waste of time.
Amen.
You know, that's like you stepping in and saying to your child, now, do you want a spanking? Well, why do you think I did wrong? I was hoping you'd bring that up. Yeah, I'm here. I brought the paddle. Go ahead. And could I just submit to you what an ignorant question to ask?
Yes, sir.
Why in the world do we waste our time asking those kind of things, you know? No child wants that. Hey, do you want this asparagus? No. No, Brother Kelly went to a restaurant. He called me the other day when we were talking. He said, I was thinking about going to this restaurant you talked about. He said, I'm going to go. He told me this morning after service. He said, hey, I went there and I ate. He said, boy, it was really good. He said, you know what I got? I said, no. He said, liver and onions. I said, you go to a restaurant that serves good food and that's what you eat?
Amen.
But, I mean, he likes that. Okay, that's fine. I got no problem, all right? You know, we do those kind of things. We ask questions, and we just foolish. We give up on the idea that, hey, the tried and proven and the tried and true methods have worked for years, and all of a sudden we decide, oh, no, we can't do it that way. I marvel at the laws that daycares have to operate under. And I'm not going to get into specifics, you know, everything, but I hear about it and I go, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I've often thought that those lawmakers that make those kind of laws should be forced to operate it. You sit there for 8-10 hours a day and you live with those laws and you tell me that'll work. Doesn't get the job done, all right? Doesn't do it. Hey, I'll just give you a few things. We give up the old songs for the new. You say, preacher, you just think every new song's bad. No, I don't. No, I don't. But I've heard some new ones I thought pretty good. Of course, sometimes I hear one and I think, boy, it's a new song. I find out, no, it's just an old one I hadn't heard, all right? But, you know, but sometimes, yep, some of the new songs. I don't have a problem, but I don't want to swap the old for the new. I value the old ones. I don't want to give up there's power in the blood. I don't want to give up victory in Jesus. I don't want to do it. Man, and I could just go on and on and on. There's so many old songs. They're great songs. And boy, they speak to your heart. They've got a message in them. I don't want to give them up for the new ones that are about that long. Now, I'm not against singing a good chorus. I like Christ is All I Need. You know, I do. And there's a ton of good choruses out there. Our Lord is returning. Oh, shout hallelujah. I like those choruses. Yes, wait a minute. I don't want to swap the old for the new if I can't have the old anymore. Right. Don't want to do that. Hey, we give up the old book for the new one. Boy, don't want to do that. Don't want to give up this old book. It's proven itself. It's proven itself. Why in the world would we want to give up the old book for a new one? Never should we consider doing that. I know people that give up old friends for new ones. You talk about a perpetual problem in school. Here's a perpetual problem. And I'm sorry, ladies, but it's mostly girls. Yep. Girls can have one friend. One friend. And in order to have another friend, it's, well, see you. Because you can't be my friend if I'm going to be that person's friend. Hey, and if you're going to be my friend, you can't be her friend.
That's right. Yes,
in God's dear name, what in the world's wrong with us?
Yeah.
Hey, I never have understood that, and I've worked with kids in 47 years, and I still don't understand it. I don't understand why you can't have two.
Amen.
Or five.
Yes, sir.
Now, I mean, what in the world is wrong with, but they say, I'm going to have to give up old friends for the new. Let me tell you this. If somebody says to you, in order to do this, you need to give up that old crowd. Wait a minute. What's the old crowd? If it's good and it's godly, you don't want to give them up.
No,
you don't want to give them up. I have known of people that have married and their husband would demand of the wife, well, you can't be their friend anymore. Hey, ladies, let me say this to you. You check it out before you marry anybody.
That's right.
Amen. If they're going to come at you with that. You need to have nothing to do with somebody like that. I know of folks that won't even let their wife get in touch with her people, her family, unless he hears the conversation. My word, what's wrong with you? Why would you marry a woman you didn't trust? Why would you do that? Why would you marry somebody? Hey, I'm not going to give up my old friends to have new friends. Hey, I'm not going to give up the tried, the tested, and the true for the might and the maybe.
Right.
Not going to do that. But that's what we're seeing in our day. That is what we're seeing. Hey, you be careful that you don't lose more than you gain, all right?
Amen.
You be careful. The second thing is this. You stick with the one that brung you. And yes, I know that's incorrect English. but stick with the one that brung you. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Malachi chapter 3.
Amen.
All right? I want you to notice there's more than giving in Malachi. All right? Malachi chapter 3. What a marvelous verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord.
Amen.
I change not.
Amen.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Amen.
God said very plainly, I am the Lord. I change not. Can I just say this to you? It is God who has gotten you this far along in life. It's God. It's the God of this book.
Oh, yes.
It's the God of this book. Because truthfully, there is no other God. There is no other God. He's brought you through. He's carried you over. He's made a way for you in life. He's done all of that. He's got you where you are. There's a song. I was playing it when Mrs. Noble came in. She said, that's the first time I ever heard it. The song is, No Need to Doubt Him Now. No need to doubt him now. Look, the God of the book is the God of creation.
Amen.
And there's no reason for us to decide to change to another one. He said, preacher, who in the world wants to do that? Well, I'll tell you this, worldly Christians seem to want a worldly God.
Right.
Worldly God. They have begun to change and to mold and to talk about God. In the world of Christianity, and that word is used loosely in that attempt, in the world of religion, there is a push on to change the way God is looked at and God's considered to be, all right? We're living in a day where they want to make God hip and cool. Make him to be that way. They want a God that does not condemn wrong, but just simply a God of love. Now, wait a minute. The Bible does say he is a God of love. As a matter of fact, he said he is love. All right, no doubt about that. He loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is the love of God that is absolutely amazing and almost beyond belief. But wait a minute. To say that God's just a God of love and he doesn't condemn wrong, you said, who would believe that? Hang on, people are doing it. They want a God that does not demand much of them, and a God who is just happy with whatever little might be given his way. Whatever little might be done for him. Okay, I'm happy and thrilled. You said, nobody does that. Wait a minute, they do. There's a very popular book that's out. Has been out, and that's not brand new. It's been around a while. It's been portrayed, made into a movie, and the title of it is The Shack.
That's right.
The Shack. And the presentation of that book and the God that's told there is not the God of this book. Not the God of this book. Now, I'm just telling you, you need to be very careful, all right?
Amen.
You need to be very careful. We're living in a day of change, and people use religious, what I'm going to call religious terminology, but they change the meaning of those words. And what they mean when they say a word that we're used to is not the biblical application. It's not the word that's always been used for years. And you say, preacher, why are you just harping on that? Because I see what it's doing to God's people. I see how it's destroying people that have been faithful and have loved the Lord, and we just get to the idea that, hey, anything is all right. God will never condemn you. God's simply a God of love. Don't do that. Hey, you watch out for those preachers that get up and preach against sin. They're legalists. They're judgmental. Well, have you heard those words? You heard those words? Be careful. Be careful. Hey, the way they use the word legalism is not the biblical usage of legalism. And what they refer to as legalistic is not the biblical term for legalistic. It is not. They're two different things. And they love to say, judge not. You know, the Bible said, judge not, and be not judged.
That's right.
Same Bible says, judge righteous judgments.
Amen. Yes, sir. Preach it. Yes.
Same Bible says that.
But
we live in a day, man, if I can make it sound good and I can make God to be hip and cool And he's not judgmental. He just takes anything. He accepts me the way I am. By the way, he does accept you the way you come.
That's right. Amen.
But he'll change you.
Amen.
If you get him in you,
right,
he will change you. But we're being taught nowadays, you don't need to change anything. You can do whatever. Hey, you can, I don't know if they rock out at Billy Bob's or not. They stagger out oftentimes. But, you know, you can go be there on Friday night and have all day Saturday to recover and show up at church on Sunday and everything's cool. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, can I say you need to be careful? Need to be careful of that kind of philosophy. Our God repeatedly warned Israel not to depart from him to follow the gods they would find in the land of Canaan. Man, over and over and over he warned them, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. Hey, God's called you. God saved you. And he's called us to follow him until the end of our life.
Amen.
Not to swap him off for a cool God. Amen. Not to swap him off for a God that says, don't worry, I won't judge anything you do. It's all right. I'll overlook it. I'm sorry, but that's not the case. He said, preach, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's talk about Ananias and Sapphira.
That's good.
Did God not judge them?
Oh, yes.
Did God not judge them? My Bible said he killed them. He killed him. Well, obviously, he must judge something.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, obviously, he judges something. But we've been fed that idea that it's okay. And I just want to say this to you. All gods are not given names.
No, sir.
No. But I would say this. Anything that you allow to come between you and God becomes your real God. Look, if you will, Matthew chapter 15. You're still there in Malachi. It's just the next book, all right? Matthew chapter 15. Look there in verse 8, would you? Matthew 15, verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, and he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Bible said we worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That involves your heart. That involves your heart. And if all you do is play lip service to a God, but nothing in you and of you is different, it's just all what you say. But man, nothing is different about you. Then the Bible points out, and Jesus Christ himself said, their heart is far from me. Mm-hmm. Hey, if the Bible's plain, can two walk together except they be agreed? We cannot walk with our God.
Amen.
When we've decided God is not what he says he is in this book. Look, this is what gives us our view of God. It's not some fellow who's talking about God. And there is so much out there that causes people to pull away from the God of the book and go to a God that is not biblical.
Amen.
I don't care if you still call him Jehovah God. That doesn't mean you're serving the same God. Doesn't mean you're serving the same God. You need to be sure that you stick, as I said, with the one that brung you. You stick with the one that got you where you are today. He got you this far. The third thing I want you to see, take your Bible to Psalm, the book of Psalms. We're going to look at two Psalms tonight, two verses in two different Psalms. One is Psalm 27, and the other one is Psalms 40. Psalms 27 in one hand and Psalm 40 in the other hand, if you would. And we're just going to look at one verse in each one of these. And Psalm 27, if you would, and look with me in verse 5, okay? Psalm 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That's David. I want you to go. He said, he shall set me up upon a rock. Now go to the 40th Psalm, if you will. And here's, once again, David writing under the inspiration of God. But he's also given a personal testimony. He said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a slick surface. That's not what it says. It said, he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He said, preacher, where are you going with this? I want you to see this. I don't care what kind of world you live in. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what's going on in you. You need stability. Amen. You need stability. Our feet, we need our feet planted on a solid rock all the time because we don't know when trouble is going to come. I don't know when trouble's going to take place. I don't know when the next problem's going to erupt. I need to be planted. My feet need to be firmly planted on a rock and safely established right there. Right there. Now, we've just come through a week, boy, where we've had some very slick days, and some of you have slipped down. I talked to two people that slipped down this last week. And I can remember, I'll never forget, the one that stands out the most in my mind is when my wife and I, we lived over on Netches in Diamond Hill. And had a house there, and our dryer was out in a shed. The washing machine was in the house, but the dryer was out in the shed. You said, why didn't you put it in the house? Because there was no place to put it in the house, all right? So it was out in a shed. And I can remember going out to check on it, and there was we had a pallet laying there, and on that pallet I had nailed a piece of plywood so we could step up on that before we stepped into the shed where the dryer was. And I wasn't really careful one day, wasn't really thinking, didn't think anything about it. I walked out of the house, down there, down the steps, no problem, crossed the yard, no problem. Put my feet on that pallet, and man, zip, my feet went somewhere else, all right? And I was on my back before I knew what had happened, all right? Why? Because where I put my foot wasn't solid. It wasn't solid. It was slippery. Hey, you and I, one thing we need in this life, we need stability. We need stability. You're going to have some storms in life. You're going to face some difficult times. Life is made up of them. There will come some times where you're going to wonder, man, what's going on? You need to be firmly grounded. You need to have some stability. You can't do that if everything in your life is in a constant state of flux. If everything's constantly changing, you can't do it. You can't do it. Then you say, well, where's that stability going to come from? One of them for us is God's people. It comes from this book right here. It comes from this book right here. He said, we read that verse in Malachi. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. And he says about his word, it'll endure forever. It'll endure forever. It is not going to change. It doesn't need to change. Now, the world has come to us and decided, oh, no, everything is all right. And that old book is outdated. I'm going to tell you something. This book is not outdated. It's not outdated. The moral truth, the biblical truth, every truth that in it is timely. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. When God said that... marriage is when a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife.
Yes, sir.
And the two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
That hasn't changed.
Amen.
That hasn't changed. Now, I know we've had lawmakers make a bunch of laws that mean nothing to God except you're disobedient.
Amen.
You've rejected me.
Yes,
And I'm just saying to you, those kind of things are now being pushed as that. But it leads to unstable times. Children. And I'm not going to belabor this point, okay? But children need a mom and a dad.
Yes, sir.
Children don't need two dads.
Nope.
Children don't need to be brought up by two moms.
Nope.
Now, I guarantee you they're not going to be well adjusted. There's going to be a problem in there somewhere. Now, it may not show up for a long time, and it may never appear outwardly, but you're not going to know what's going on inside that child.
That's right.
God made a family the way, and he said he set children in a family, okay?
Amen.
Said God setteth a solitary in families. That is not just any old arrangement you want to make it that man's decided. No, hey, the Bible is truth, and truth is true in every age.
Amen.
Never changes. I just finished reading a book. The title of it is In a World Lit Only by Fire. And the book is about the end of the Middle Ages and the beginning of the Renaissance and the Reformation, and it deals a lot with the church, in that case the Catholic Church, and it talks about them opposing the church, opposing like Copernicus, who said that the world is not the center of the universe, and that the world was not flat, it was round. And this book goes on and on. Well, listen, all of those things might have been church dogma, but they weren't biblical truth.
Amen.
They weren't biblical truth.
Not at all.
Biblical truth doesn't change. And nothing that's true shakes the truth.
Amen.
All right? Nothing that's true shakes the truth. What we have to do is watch out. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, all right? Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. And just notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. And this is something that we see going on in our day. People are tossed back and forth, you know. But Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." When something new comes out in theology, you just mark it up. It's not true.
Amen.
It is not true, all right? That you can count on it. Hey, if there's one thing we need in this day, we need a source for truth that we can always know what's right. What is right? Always know what's right. You said, what's that truth? It's right here. You can anchor your life, and it ought to be anchored in the truth of the Word of God. Just anchor it there. Anchor it there. If the government or somebody says, well, the family is not what it used to be, you say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And if folks come along and try to give you and sway you, if they try to tell you, hey, well, the God, you know, that you've heard all your life, that's really not what God is. We've got into the scriptures and we've checked it out, and it's real. Just throw them out.
Yes, sir.
Don't waste your time, okay?
Amen.
Don't waste your time with that. We need to be anchored in the Word of God.
Amen.
We need that stability. It's the Word of God that lets us know for sure. When it comes to things of morality, when it comes to right and wrong, the truth is found in the Word of God. Now, the world likes to say, oh, but there's so many gray areas. The truth of the matter is those gray areas are only gray because we colored them that way.
Amen.
We're the ones that held the crayon.
That's right.
They're not. It's, you know, black and white. If God says thou shalt not, then I'd strongly urge you not to do it.
That's right.
Amen. If the Bible says thou shalt, then you better do it.
Amen.
You better do it. Just plain and simple. Yeah, but it's not convenient for me. Well, you just be inconvenienced.
That's right. Amen.
You just be inconvenienced. Doesn't have to be convenient for you. You just need to stick with the book. Let me tell you one other thing that'll provide stability. If it's biblical, the church will provide stability for you. Now, I said if it's biblical. If it is just another entertainment center, then it won't provide stability.
Nope.
because things will change there. Everything will be changed. Everything will be swayed. There's a great deal of pressure today on preachers to change. Great deal. There's a church in Fort Worth that I've known of for years that's had a strong stand for the Lord, and according to one of its members that I've talked to in the last month or so, is taking a left turn. Changing. Hey, changing for what? Well, they're getting away from the truth. You know, my job as a pastor and as a preacher is not to make the Word of God appealing to you. My job is to preach you the truth of the Bible. It's that way. There are some things that I know I preach them, it's gonna rub the fur the wrong way. Do it. And hey, it'll happen. But that's what you need. You and I need that. I don't need somebody to come along and pat me on the back when I'm doing wrong and say, "It's okay, stay with it, you'll be fine." I don't need that. If I go to the doctor and there's something wrong, I don't want him to say, "Don't worry, everything's smooth. You're in good shape." Now, if there's something wrong, I want him to tell me what it is.
Amen.
I want to know it. Give me the truth. Tell me what it is. Tell me what's going on. You say, "Well, there's nothing we can do." Say, "I don't care. I still want to know. If I'm going to die tomorrow, would you tell me today?"
Yes, sir.
You know it. I want to know it. He said, "What are you going to do?" "I don't know, but I want to know it. Be aware of it, all right?" Hey, the church is good for man.
Yes, sir.
And it's for the good of man.
Amen.
God put it here. Have you noticed the tendency in our day is you don't even call it a church anymore? Well, wait a minute. Take your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to notice what 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth."
Amen.
It's the church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's not the fellowship.
Nope.
Not, it's the church.
Right.
It's not the place at somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's the church.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, if a church takes the name church off, I figure it's because they're not a church. And that's fine. That's fine. If you're not going to be a church, then don't use the name church. Don't do it. And we see that taking place. Hey, you need, the church was put here by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was His idea. It wasn't man's idea. It was not man's idea to say, "Let's have a group of people, let's build a building, and let's have a man to lead them." That wasn't man's idea. That was God's idea. And He left the church here for a reason. And the smartest, one of the smartest things you can do when you're living in a changing world is to anchor yourself in a Bible-believing, Bible-following church. That's smart. One of the smartest things you can do. Anchor yourself there, because you're going to need that anchor. You're going to need that to hold you up. You're going to need that to get you through. You say, "I made it through some without it." Yeah, and you might have. But I'm saying this, boy, things work better if you're part of a church. Work better. Life goes better. God instituted it. Now, I believe this. You never need to apologize for standing for some things that don't change. I don't apologize for standing for the biblical family. I don't apologize for that. None whatsoever. I don't apologize, you know, for standing against some of the things in our world today. The popularization of drinking. Man, I come from a... I'm trying to figure out really what I should say here, okay? I started to say I come from a long line of none, but that's not true. I had somebody back yonder not too long that sold it. I don't think they made it, but they sold it. Somebody else made it, and they were just the middleman, you know, family members, all right? My brother make, no, he doesn't. But, I mean, you know, it's there, it's back there. But, man, I still believe the Bible says wine is a marker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. I just believe that, okay? It says it, that's what it means. That's what it means. And doesn't change anything about that, all right? And that hasn't changed. But we live in a day where it's popularized, and social drinking is okay. Now, if you're just a slobber and staggering, falling down drunk, oh, that's terrible. Well, wait a minute. The slobber and staggering, falling down drunk didn't start that way.
No, sir.
I do not know how many drinks it would take to make me drunk. I have no idea, okay, to make me what would be legally drunk, okay? I don't have any idea. And I don't want to find out. I was talking to my wife. I don't remember if it's day yesterday, somewhere along the line. I said, you know, I wonder sometimes what those drugs that people, I wonder how it makes them feel.
Right.
But I don't wonder enough to want to try it to find out.
Amen.
Don't want to do that. But I wonder. Now, I can remember a kid when I was in high school in PE class, he was on something. And I looked at him and the way he was acting, I thought, that doesn't look like fun to me. That just doesn't look like fun. You know, he didn't look like he was feeling good. He looked like he was miserable. Forget it, I'm out, you know. Don't want to do that. Well, you need a new experience. Why? Why? Well, you need to try that. Why? Why do I need to do that? Hey, we need to be aware of the truth.
Amen.
We need to put our feet right dead solid on that truth.
Amen.
And stand there.
Amen.
Without apology. Hey, it's okay to change when the change is for right and better and good.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. I'm so glad that they made air conditioning. I like air conditioning.
Yes, sir.
Our church sits on a hill.
Oh, yes.
If we had no air conditioning, we could knock holes in the wall and put big windows in, and there's usually a breeze blowing through here. But I'm glad we have air conditioning.
Amen.
I'm just thankful for it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I can remember as a kid, my dad pastoring in Vidalia, Georgia. And on both Sunday nights, Wednesday night, and hot summer, the windows were open and everything. And some of the test of a good preacher was how many bugs you could eat and keep on preaching, buddy. Because you were right under the light, and that's where the bugs came. And they don't just go there, they fly around. And if you're preaching, your mouth comes open, and sometimes, sure enough, he goes in. Now, you got to be careful about spitting him out, all right? Thank God for air conditioning. I'm in favor of it.
Amen.
I don't preach against padded pews because I like them.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there's anything unscriptural about it.
Nope.
Don't think anything unbiblical about it. That change was good. It was right. But I want to say this to you. You be very careful about what change you're willing to accept.
Amen.
Be very careful about what change you're willing to accept. Because it can sure make the difference.
Yes, sir.
In your life, the life of your family. You be careful. You be careful. Well, everybody's doing it. No, they're not.
No,
no they're not. I used to preach to teenagers on the fact, I said, one of the false ideas young people have is everybody's doing it. Everybody's not doing it. And if it's wrong, I don't care who's doing it. You shouldn't do it.
Amen.
Be careful about what change you accept. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, Lord, to realize that you are God and you do not change. And Lord, you've given us your word, and that word doesn't change. And Lord, we need to relish that thought. We need to realize we